It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's what I'm going to talk the whole episode in this voice. The entire time.
Well, you probably should have consulted a physician before making that decision.
Have I done this one before?
No.
I feel like, okay, good. It's been there in the background for a while. I've been waiting for that. That's my, I call that my chipmunk voice, my Bobby voice, you know, from Howie Mandel.
My name is Bobby, I'm five.
When I was little, I called it my chipmunk voice. Now, it is my toot toot voice. Toot toot the fairy in Dresden Files.
This is more like this, but this is how Toot Toot talked.
When you read Dresden Files.
For the Tsar Lord's army!
Yes, for when I read it to Trish. She loves Toot Toot.
Well, that's good.
Yes. And it was weird for me, because it's slightly based off of James Marsters' version of it, but when I went back and was listening again, he doesn't do it in the beginning. And in fact, the original description of Toot Toot's voice is very childlike, and he does, like, a kid's voice.
Mm.
But then I think by the second time Toot Toot shows up, he switches over to this. And I didn't even notice it until much later.
I see.
So, hello, everyone. Welcome. Is this our spooktacular? I think it
mm-hmm.
is our spooktacular.
It is.
Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that contains both a Southeast Asian dictator from the 60s who has been living comfortably in hiding ever since, and the star of the poorly received 1983 action comedy White Blackula. I'm not saying which of us it is, and I'm not saying if it's one or two people. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 294.
294. It's creeping up here.
Yep.
Any second now. It's early December, isn't it? You've done the math.
December 8th, I believe.
There we go. I was going to say that, too. Whew. We should figure out something to do about that.
Okay.
I don't know what, though.
I don't either.
So I'll probably do that. For those of you just joining us, it doesn't get better. Here's how the show works. We have a hat. It's magical. And then it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like yourselves, cool people, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, little information, little note card, no, little questions, topics, comments, concerns, lawsuits, you know, the usual. And the hat on its own magically transmogrifies those little emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. We, its excommunicated servants, I feel like I've used that one before too.
It's a good one.
Draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the whole show. Sometimes punctuated in the background by kitties
mm-hmm.
having what we call histocuffs. I always love the sort of detente there, where they just sort of look at each other. And frequently, they're just, one of them has a paw just slowly coming up, that kind of thing. All right, so until we know, we're going to have to keep asking this one every episode. Again, without going into specifics, have you decided on a candidate for president?
It's kind of a yes or no question, because at present, My plan is to not cast a vote for president. I'll fill out the rest of the ballot, but there's 10 different pairs of people on the Iowa ballot, and I just got to the point where I realized I do not really feel very strongly about any of these people, and so I may just not vote for anyone for president. But the rest of the ballot I'll fill out, but possibly not that one.
I believe a lot of people would strongly argue that voting for no one was inappropriate.
Why?
I don't know. That's why I said people.
Oh.
But I believe there are some that feel very strongly.
Well, I'm voting for somebody. I'm voting in all the other parts of the ballot, just not that one. I mean, I'm a person that I don't even know why we have a popular vote for president. I don't even know why we do that. In fact, in my opinion, we shouldn't do that, but we do. So.
I'm going to play somebody's advocate. Maybe the devil.
Somebody's advocate.
But I said somebody would have made this argument. Let's do this then. Okay, so let's say it's a ballot that only has the one thing on it.
The one thing?
The president thing.
Oh.
One thing you mark. So you just don't vote?
I don't know. I mean, that's not...
Because that's the thing.
The situation,
people,
so that's...
People, I know people argue that voting is significant. And so for me, then, it's just a logical leap. Unless they are saying, voting is you have to vote as long as it's a complicated multi-part ballot. That doesn't seem reasonable to me. So in my mind, the people who say everybody needs to vote would agree that even if it's just that one question, you need to vote, which therefore would mean you need to vote for president.
Well, again, as I was saying before, I don't even know why we vote. I mean,
technically, like I said,
the Electoral College selects the president, and I realize it's tied to the popular vote. I don't think it should be tied to the popular vote. I think that's part of what, in our culture, allows the executives that get elected to feel like they can abuse their office, but that's beside the point. I don't.
Those of you who haven't been with us too long, William is very much of the Republic school of government with regard to ours at this current state.
Well, right.
Much like the founding fathers.
I just feel like it seems to me the way it should work, and of course talking about the way things should work is always problematic, but the way it should work is people should be far more concerned about who's representing them in the House and in the Senate, and the president shouldn't be nearly as important as people make him or her out to be.
In the House, Trish represents me.
But anyway, so you know, I mean, I'm voting in. I'll be voting in all of the things where I'm actually voting for somebody. Like, I'm actually voting for the person in a lot of these things.
Yeah.
For the presidential
Although
thing, I'm not voting for the president. I'm voting for the person who's going to vote
to
for the president.
To be fair, it's also less impressive about how... This was a really straightforward ballot this year. It had all the big ones, and then it had a whole bunch of smaller positions, of which every single one, the amount of people you could vote for, was equal to or greater than the number of people running. And two, every single one was a Democrat.
Yeah.
And then it was a bunch of judges, which admittedly from a bunch of different circuits, because Iowa we elect our judges or re-elect them. Do we originally elect them? I thought they were appointed, but then we elect whether or not they stay in office. I don't know, but we definitely
actually that's a good question,
judges.
And I don't remember the answer.
Yeah,
that's
Jazz,
terrible. I should know that.
And then there was one ballot measure at the end, which involved the number of signatures one needs in order to get a ballot measure.
Right, because they're doing that in Colorado too.
It
has to do with the fact that people are concerned that it's too easy to change the Iowa Constitution. Like, you have a ballot measure and you can change the Constitution. Well, that probably is a little too easy. But what's the answer? I'm not sure what the answer is, but that's why that's on there.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yep.
So.
Yep, not a whole lot to it.
All right. How has your week been?
It's all right. It's been a great autumn. It's, we're really looking forward to Halloween coming up. watched, I told you I watched the extended version of Ghostbusters, which...
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I thought and you have now determined that you liked it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which means I've also determined that I know why I had a problem with the theatrical version, because for me personally, it was very confusing in terms of plot and character arcs and everything else. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite get it. But the stuff that was in the extended version made it all make sense, really. Which, I don't know why they cut some of that stuff out. I mean, the extended version is like 2 hours and 15 minutes or something. That's not too long for a film, is it?
That is very unusual for an action film or a comedy.
To be that long?
Anything. Generally, you don't go much over 90 if it's... It seems to be a weird arc of how lowbrow or highbrow it is proportional to how long it is. So the dumber the movie, the shorter it is. And then the really serious, huge epics, frequently historical epics, can be two and a half, 3 hours long. Or the big fantasy epics. Those kind of things. But then, like, the comedies... 100 minutes, maybe. If a comedy goes over 2 hours, that's unusual.
Well, they should have just done it, because I think the film would have been a lot better received. But also, and we talked about this a little bit in email, the kind of humor, and you talked about this on the podcast too a little bit, the kind of humor, I mean, the whole way the film was directed from a comedic standpoint was different. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't, like the original Ghostbusters was... You know, there was a script, and there were some setups to gags and stuff. In this one, of course, there was a script, but there was also, all right, let's do 12 takes of so-and-so.
There was a ton of riffing.
Improvising, right. And then we'll just put the best one in the film.
Well, which I think is Paul Feig's...
Yeah. But it's a very different kind of thing. You know what I mean?
It does make me want to get my hands on a copy of Bridesmaids and see the outtakes from that.
Sure.
Because I'm sure there was a similar setup there.
But the result is what you pointed out in one of the previous podcasts, was that you get a world that everything's taking place in is sillier. Mm-hmm. And you know, like in the first film, even though obviously there were fantastical things going on, I think you were supposed to think outside of those fantastical things, the world worked the way we all expect the world to work.
There's an almost fourth wall breaky quality.
Yeah. But when your comedy is, well, let's just improvise and we'll put the best bits in. Well, then you allow sort of screwball comedy type of stuff to happen, or
and disjointed.
Yeah.
Because the riff here doesn't necessarily.
Which I didn't have a problem with, but if
it's a mindset you need to.
Yeah. If you liked the flavor, I guess, of comedy in the original film, I can understand maybe having a little bit of problem with this. But I liked it. I didn't have any issues with it at all.
It must have been because of that thing with the tour guide in the beginning that I registered that it said it. Because you're right. That's a thing you have to sort of be... That's a kind of comedy you have to be specifically receptive to. Both of them are, really. And so it may just be that I caught that right away, and so
just made the adjustment
in my mindset. Yeah.
And for me, that didn't happen. It was like, it's kind of like when you take a bite of food and you expect it to be one thing and it's something else.
Yes, for me, it's beverages. I was just talking with my parents about this. If I have a drink and it's some sort of dark liquid and I expect like Diet Coke and it's iced tea, I will frequently have spit it back out.
Even though you're perfectly fine with iced tea.
I love iced tea. I love Diet Coke. I drink both of
them
regularly.
But at that moment, the weird...
I have had it it was like water and Sprite, because I just grabbed so much. Mm. And I don't even remember which was which. I just remember it was not what I expected. And it was like,
right.
That's gross.
Right. Isn't that weird?
That one, I don't know what it is, but it is so intense for me. Now... But it has to be if I have clear expectations.
Yes.
If you brought me this brown liquid and you're like, what is it? And it was Diet Coke or it was tea, I think I'd be fine. But I'd be like, oh,
no, you
alert.
You have to expect something specific. For me, it's happened when I think I'm going to eat something sweet, but it's savory, or the other way around. It could be a dish that I totally like, but if I expect it to be sweet instead, it'll taste terrible to me for a second, and then I'll get used to it. But yeah, I think that's what happened with this film, and it was that tour guide thing. The when he said something about the This is the room that P.T. Barnum decided he was going to enslave elephants or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was that moment where I remember my brain kind of went, wait, what? That's not how this is supposed to be.
Not to like pull nerd cred or whatever, but it may be the comedy geek thing in me, because Trish and I, it's one of those hobbies that like Trish and I are both into now. So we're way into it. So like every comedy thing we see, or even just like friends make a joke, we're analyzing it later and stuff. So it may have been, because I remember thinking like that moment I knew was significant. I'm like, this is setting a tone.
That's right. This is and since two things happen when I watch the extended version. One, a lot of character development and plot development was in there that made things make sense to me that didn't when I first watched it. But also I was ready for that. And
I think in general, often the second time you get a true sense.
And so there were parts that I didn't register as funny or unfunny the first time that this time I thought was hilarious. So I mean, I think the film is great, but I don't know. I wish they'd at least had the extended version in the theaters. I think it would have done a little better. I think you still would have had some people that responded like I do to the not quite used to what the comedy was going to be. But the second time around, I think they would have liked it. So I don't know.
Well, we'll see how it. I mean, some things don't do super good in the theater, and then they get what they call a cult following later. But I mean, sometimes they just do better on DVD.
Now, there has been some talk about it maybe not getting a sequel, but
I heard it was quite likely now that there.
Well, I that came from some sources that were like, you know, like an online Hollywood blog said they got it from someone in, you know, some anonymous source. And it wasn't a strong no that they weren't gonna have sequels. I'm sure that they felt like, especially when that news first came out, I even remember all the numbers from, like, you know, all the box office numbers hadn't even come in yet. And I think they might want to see how the DVD and Blu-ray do.
Well, I mean, it'd be silly if the DVD and Blu-ray do really well. It'd be ridiculous not to do a sequel from a business perspective.
Well, and sometimes, I mean, when they've got everyone signed on for a 3-picture deal anyway.
Yeah.
Sometimes they think, well, if we lost on the first one, we need the second and or third one to recoup some of those losses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
can tweak things and stuff like
exactly.
that. I believe that's sort of what happened with the Purge trilogy. The first movie was not well received, and the second movie and the third movie apparently were really well liked.
Oh, okay, well.
Well, and I know a particular columnist who insists, he's like, the second movie is what you were hoping the first movie was.
Well, see, that kind of thing can happen, so
yeah.
You might feel like you have to do a second
movie. But I do know this one was tricky because there's theories that it involves the ghost. I don't know. Internationally, apparently, it just doesn't play, and they didn't expect it to.
Well, China wouldn't play it at all.
Oh, that's right. China flat out did not because of ghosts.
Yeah. And that's a
ghost,
huge
time travel.
That's a huge problem.
And I'm not even making that up, but literally movies about a philosophy that they disagree with. I mean, and I'm not trying to be political there. I'm saying that's literally a rule.
Yeah. It was a huge blow when they found that out because
China spends the money.
A lot of movies wouldn't do well if they couldn't play in China.
I think Warcraft's getting a sequel because it did really well in China. It did crap here.
Well, see,
but it did
go.
Really well over there.
But I don't know. I hope people buy it, and I hope some good word of mouth goes around for the extended version because I thought it was a huge improvement.
And I've always recommended the movie.
I bet you'll like the extended
version. And I kind of want that because I've been seeing them now, but I was telling you, I'm seeing the outtakes from it.
Yeah, the special features are really good.
And I watched Kate McKinnon's one, who I'm just in love with at this point, and hers were really great.
Yeah, the special features are on it are really good. So I don't know. Maybe the DVD and Blu-ray will make an impression. And I would like to see them
and it
make
didn't,
more.
It didn't tank.
No.
The movie did not make, I don't even know if they quite made break even, but it's not like it brought in nothing.
No, it's hard to tell if it broke even because you don't get all the numbers.
There's the marketing stuff, yeah.
Yeah. You get, I mean, it made.
Well, and there's what they were, because I believe at some point they said how much it would have to make to break even, and it was a really high number.
Yeah, it didn't really make that much, but I don't know. I mean, we'll see. And there's marketing expenses, but there's also licensing,
merchandising and stuff
that you get. So we'll see. Holtzman, McKinnon's character, is especially popular with lots of people who I didn't think the movie was that great, but I loved Holtzman, and they're buying Holtzman stuff, and they're probably going to get the extended version just to see her.
Well, and that's why I wonder if it becomes a cult following, because an icon like that, that becomes your thing.
So we'll see.
It'll probably depend on what the next few years of films look like.
But how was your week?
My week was fine. Not super interesting at all. Not much. I watched some dumb movies. I watched an old 70s Italian horror movie. Well, I think Italian. Called The Beyond. That was really interesting to me for two main reasons. One, it was really gory in very solid 1970s practical effects. But, like, I mean, there's nothing that I looked at it and I'm like, oh my god, that looks real. But there were a lot of things that for a second I was like, huh! And they really went for it. Like, it was very clearly low budget. But they, I mean, there's a shot of a guy, something bad happening to his tongue in his mouth, and they made a fake mouth and a fake tongue and a side cutout, so you actually had a camera looking at the inside of his mouth and his tongue while this stuff was happening. Like, they really went all out. But the other thing is, I'm still trying to work out why it got made or how it got made. It's set in Louisiana. I think it's filmed in Louisiana because in the credits they specifically mention the Louisiana Film Association.
Okay.
Everybody's speaks in English.
Okay.
But it's clearly dubbed.
Okay.
But all the original lip movements to me seem to be English.
Yeah, that's pretty typical because their sound is really bad when they record it, obviously.
Also, opening and closing, all credits everywhere, completely in Italian. And many of the actors' Italian-sounding last names. So, what does that mean? That Italian film crew was like, we'll get a cheap break in Louisiana?
I don't know.
And then, this is weird.
I mean, that's not unusual for spaghetti westerns and whatnot, but they didn't often go all the way to the United States to film either.
The going there was weird, but also if it's an Italian movie, like if they had all looked like they were speaking Italian, you know, then it makes sense.
Well, but another reason that a lot of these things get dubbed isn't just because you can sometimes tell from the situation they're in that, okay, they probably didn't get very good sound when they recorded it, but also because everyone's speaking English, but with very thick accents. So they get other actors to come
and record
over it.
Because there was one scene that I'm like, I'm not sure he's saying it right, but he was a really old dude, and I'm like, oh. So it was literally a cast and crew that came over, and they were like, dude, we don't care. We'll dub it over there. Which I love, because there's bits like, there's a whole, because the old guy was creepy old guy. I don't even remember why, but he was just like a random creepy old guy. And in his lines, he kept going, but in reality, I think that was that the old man's resting face was just this grin with a little gap in his teeth. And that, because his jaw didn't move as he went, so I'm like, I feel like that was an ad lib.
What's she complaining about?
I don't know.
What
she's
is she doing?
Talking. Maybe is her closet. No, she wants to come up here. Okay. I don't know. She's a weirdo. They're all weirdos. Yeah, I don't know that I have much else to. Oh, we should go through TV. I, as of last night, have officially given up on Timeless, which is too bad because Trish is sticking with it. And I wanted to say I'd stick with it, but I couldn't. We watched the second episode, and I was so full of rage. But Trish thought the second episode much better.
Oh. No?
But I'm just like, we've gone over the bad time travel. But now we've got the bad history again.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was saying stuff. And that's part of the thing, is she's a historical expert. And you get to go, but she was saying stuff. I'm like, that's not accurate. And I know that. Like, and then there were a couple ones I looked up on my phone because I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I still was like, that's not. And then, and yeah, the irony I get really tired of. Every third line is something that's like a, you know, where could they possibly go? But it's like, because you have time travel, you know, or something like that. It's always this, oh, this is ironic, because remember, we're time travelers. Like, every line, I get so tired of that. And their arguments, I hate. The conflicts they are having, to me, are sophomoric and shitty. And I only got about a third of the way through this rant, when Trish, who's understandably feeling bad because she still likes the show and I'm just crapping on it, says, you don't have to explain it. And I said, no, that's the problem. I do. That's how messed up I am by this. And I'm sad. I wanted to stick with it. And Trish, it's going to be hard for Trish. She might not, because she's not in love with it. But, and you'll note also that I'm shitting on the show that you still like in front of you, but I don't really care.
Well, we don't love it either, but... We think it's fun.
I can't cope.
I get it.
I tried. I'm curious. I am curious enough. I am absolutely gonna check it all out on Wikipedia when it finally is over, because I'm very curious how the plot with
big conspiracy
not
thing,
Andy
yeah.
Garcia works out and John Ritter's house and all that stuff. So I want to look it up, but not enough to watch.
Yeah, frequency also, three episodes in, yeah. is not quite as strong as the pilot was, but we're going to hang on.
Meanwhile, Westworld, three episodes in, is goddamn fucking amazing.
Isn't it?
As long as they pay off.
Yeah, well, that's a good
the thing.
Question.
If this becomes Lost, fuck you, and I'll hit you in the head with a cinder block.
I get it.
But I feel like it's not, because there was so much planning ahead of time, and also... Yes, admittedly, we could just kill Anthony Hopkins if we want to get rid of him. But there's enough big names that I'm like, I don't know that you signed them on for a multi-season.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good question.
Thing. Now, it's ripe for anthology a la Fargo.
Mm, yeah.
But that would still have a resolution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Speaking of Jim Gaffigan's going to be a character on third season of Fargo. That's going to be weird. Yeah, Westworld's fucking awesome. Lucifer is pretty good.
Oh, is it?
Yes. I am pleased. Trisha Helfer is a great addition.
Okay.
The role is a stretch from what I've seen her in, and she's doing a commendable job.
Mm-hmm.
They are focusing less on the police procedural, which sucks, and the female lead, who is... I don't know. My friend says she's a horrible actress, and I'm like, she's not the strongest actress there, that's for sure. But mostly they're just giving her nothing to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem being, because there's now a distinction, that stuff really sucks. Like, so the parts, because there is still a murder mystery, like every episode bullshit.
Mm.
And that part drags really hard now. But the other stuff is very interesting, and the characters are becoming very dynamic. There's a shift in one of the characters that is of significance, and I really like it because they haven't said anything, but we can already come up with like two completely different explanations for why it's happening, and we don't know which one is right. And Rachel Harris is still, her part is getting bigger, and I'm just happy for that because I love her. And I like seeing her get work that's not talking about an old decade on VH1.
The Supergirl episodes are still pretty strong.
Are they?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like a good move to go to CW.
I can't remember. Are you watching Arrow?
Yes.
Okay, because Arrow's back, right?
Arrow had a good strong start, too. The first show, for the first time, probably since the beginning, and the beginning wasn't very strong in this aspect either, but for the first time, he was actually shooting arrows. Trico's.
Dude.
You know, for a long time there, it's, you might see him shoot. I mean, I swear there are episodes where he didn't shoot a single arrow, but he showed up with his bow.
And sometimes he used it as a staff.
So weird. But in the pilot episode, he was shooting a lot of arrows and some trick arrows even. I thought, okay, finally they're going to...
Did any of them have a boxing glove on the end?
He's done that once.
Really?
Yeah, like in season one.
Oh my God, maybe seriously? Season two,
yeah.
Oh, that's so
It was very cool. It was very cool.
It's not cool.
No, it was very cool.
Physics.
They've proven it can be done.
Oh, did Mythbusters do it?
Someone did it. Mythbusters or somebody.
Simpsons?
I don't know. Somebody real.
Simpsons did it.
But
there was something in that came up recently. There's an old episode, not even that old, but a few years ago, where a Simpsons joke involves they've got a betting pool amongst the kids for the Nobel Prizes. Mm. And apparently, this year, Milhouse got one. Because it's for a specific thing, and apparently he picked the right person. I don't remember who it was, but it was one of the Nobel Prizes, and so they're like, Simpsons can predict the future! Because they're always saying Simpsons can predict the future.
The last Van Helsing show wasn't very good.
Did they mention the name yet?
Nope. I find that very weird.
That is super weird!
But it's not horrible, but the last episode was really weak. Mm. We've been enjoying The Exorcist quite a bit. Mm. I don't know if you'd like it or not. I mean, most of your... What you said, the reasons you weren't interested in seeing it, I think most of that stuff's probably
true. At this point, I am comfortable with not.
Yeah.
There's enough other things that I should be watching.
I'm trying to think of... Because we're watching so many things. I mean, we're watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's...
Yeah, and we're watching... Thing. I mean, we're watching At Midnight and Jonah and Kumail, and This Is Not Happening is having a new season.
Oh, we're watching Blacklist.
Oh, yeah.
How to Get Away with Murder, we're watching that. But, I mean, you know, nothing...
Elementary's really... back. We've got a couple episodes we haven't had a chance to watch them yet.
And we're still watching on DVD. We're still watching Good Wife. It got a lot better. I mean, it was never bad, but it got a lot better in later seasons. It's kind of a curious show. It's what I would call a legal procedural.
Mm-hmm.
Where...
I've seen a couple episodes.
Where that part of it doesn't seem like just a MacGuffin to... talk about people's...
Well, because it's set up in an academic thing, so then you can...
It's pretty interesting.
Make it work pretty well,
It's pretty interesting. Oh, yes, we're watching Madam Secretary still, which I think I said is doing something really interesting this season that I didn't expect, but it's still pretty good. Although, Tim Daly's character, God, I just cannot get into him. I cannot stand...
You're not into Tim Daly.
That character.
Which, you know, it'd be weird if you were.
Well, and I didn't like he voiced Superman, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't like his portrayal of Superman either. But he had a pretty good video series based around that, though.
Hmm.
It's a video series starring him and his son, and it's kind of all about... Well, I don't know if it's all about this or just the ones I've seen. He kind of talks a lot about being Superman or playing Superman or... His history as Superman is a big part of it.
Mm.
In fact, there's one part where... I mean, I think his son ends up voicing Superman for something, too. But anyway, Nathan Fillion comes by and he says, well, you know, I voiced Green Lantern, and I'm trying to give him some advice or something. And then Michael Rosenbaum came by. All these other people who have voiced superheroes were involved in the video. It was good, pretty funny.
Your face is pretty far from your mic, and I just recently discovered Jazz has been meaning to say for a while.
My face actually isn't far from the mic. It's right here. And we have a mixer. It's not about how close I am to the mic. We could just turn it up.
I already did mess with those.
There, turn it up.
See what happens.
That should work.
But you guys need to comment about...
I can't get closer to it without my face touching it, and that's not going to happen.
You were like this, so it was a few inches from your Adam's apple.
Okay.
It's your mouth in one.
Okay.
Or I'll just talk. Eventually we're going to find out it's broken. I'm going to get you one of these.
It's not broken.
And really long cords, and we're just going to wander around the house. Not even necessarily in the same room.
Oh, you know what else I watched? I watched Let the Right One In and Let Me In,
I think, is the American.
We watched them both. And they're pretty
weird.
Much identical.
Yeah, I'd heard that.
The stuff that's in Let the Right One In, it's like... Yeah, it's probably good they left that out of the one they did in the United States. And I liked the American one better, but...
I never saw the American one. I didn't particularly like the I forget which country.
Yeah, I don't
know. Icelandic? Something Scandinavian.
And it wasn't that great, but I thought the American one was pretty good.
I consider the things I don't like to be a personal taste issue.
Yeah, yeah.
There was nothing, from a film craft perspective, I had no problem with it. Yeah. Great performances, really well shot, you know, that kind of thing. It wasn't my thing.
My wife just decided we were going to watch a whole bunch of horror movies in October, and so that's what we've been doing. Yeah. And some of them aren't very good, and some of them are okay, and we decided to watch both of these.
I'm thinking I watched a different one since we last talked.
We saw The Conjuring 2, we saw that
a
couple weeks ago.
Electric Boogaloo.
It was okay.
This weekend I'm going to Icon.
Yeah, that's right.
But probably not much. I'm probably just hanging out in the hotel room, which I'm totally fine with. But getting away so the wife can have the house to herself and see what she thinks of that. Because I get that opportunity often, and it's cool just for a couple days. But I thought it was her try. We shall see. Although, driving up there tomorrow night's going to be tricky, because apparently Hillary Clinton is visiting Cedar Rapids tomorrow.
Oh, I heard Donald Trump was coming, too.
Ooh.
To Cedar Rapids or something.
Why? We're not a swing state, are we?
Well, we're like a B-team swing state.
All right. We're not Ohio.
Or Florida, yeah. We're not like that.
Jesus Christ, we're not Florida.
Mostly because we don't have that many electoral votes. Mm. If we had more electoral votes, in terms of being a state in contention, yeah, but
we're not big enough to matter.
Right. If you lose us, well, there's states with more electoral votes like Ohio and Pennsylvania and Florida. Mm. I'll have so many more that you kind of, a lot of candidates say, okay, well, it's a swing state technically, but we'll just go for these other states.
I just imagined meeting Donald Trump in person, and it freaked me out.
Now, before he had success running for president, did you find him particularly disgusting before? I mean, or is it just kind of now that you've gotten to know him better?
No, I've always thought he seemed like an asshole.
Yeah. But now he seems sleazy.
And
like,
gross. And
even sleazier than before.
I mean, I get it, and part of it was my age. I've now seen tapes of, aside from the one, I've seen tapes of things he did in the 90s and stuff, and like public appearances and stuff, and they creep me the fuck out.
Oh, yeah?
But I think I was a kid, so I didn't see as many, and I also didn't get it, you know? And part of it, maybe the problem is, there's probably a ton of people that if I saw tapes of what they were doing on TV in the 90s would creep me the fuck out.
Well, the funny thing is, I've seen some interviews with him, or like he was on Oprah or something, and he seems fine. I mean, he doesn't seem like, he still seemed, like you said, like a jerk, but he doesn't seem like he seems now.
There's a dementia argument, and there's also an older, I mean, your give a fuck wears out as you get older. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
And keep it. We're talking about decades of actor experience, which mostly involves The Apprentice, and the one thing he's good at, or the one thing he's prolific at least, is brand building. Mm-hmm. And he's got decades more of it now. So I mean, there may be a reason why he's like that, but he also just might be turning into a bigger jackass, or he might be losing his mind. Definitely feasible.
Well, and there's always the whole 9/11 thing. I mean,
so many people
really changed after 9/11.
What I'm really hoping
in a dramatic
is he's going to lose this, and then I don't ever have to think about it.
He'll lose, there's no question about it. Not in my mind, anyway.
If he doesn't, it's rigged. Wait. grab that. Let's pull some stuff out of there.
We probably really offend anyone who listens who's a Trump supporter, which I know you don't care if that's true.
No. I do care. I actively want to. If you are a Trump supporter, here's your thing. Your easiest option, don't listen anymore. I don't want you to listen to my podcast. But your other option instead, if you just have to, because it is so awesome, email me and talk to me about how you possibly could. Because I don't care what the issue is. I'll give you five solid issues that you can say Donald Trump believes this. You have to convince me. It can't be shit where up until a year ago he didn't, that he actually believes, and that I also strongly believe in. I'll give you up to five, and it's still not worth your soul, which is the rest of it that caused you. like he could tick off almost all the boxes for me and still be him, and it's not happening.
Yeah, not worth it.
Hi, baby.
What are you screaming about?
I'm trying to get Trump supporters off of our podcast.
I thought you think nobody listens to the podcast.
I know, this is in case. He brought it up. It's not my fault.
I did it. I brought it up. And the question is, how well are you prepared for a large natural disaster?
Well, Addy.
You're not prepared at all, I think.
No. No. In every apocalypse, I'm in the masses that die during the narration that talks about the masses dying. Like, I could be ground zero. I could be the first guy that's like, oh, what's going on here? And I drive into the hole, or the zombie eats me, or I light the cigarette and explode, or, you know, whatever it is. I am unprepared for anything.
My wife actually likes to be prepared for lots of things. I don't know what qualifies as a large natural disaster.
I'm not prepared for the internet to go out. And I know this for a fact because it's happened.
But I mean, for a long time, I think we still have some fairly large containers of water.
I don't even mean permanently. I mean for it to go out for like a day.
And
I'm prepared for it to go out for 5 minutes.
I've managed 5 minutes without.
I think we've got some
drinking my own urine.
Non-perishables stored up, but nothing for like a week or something.
You're prepped for a snowstorm.
Yes, and maybe if it was something where we had to leave town, we could do that and get to a different location where, you know, our chances of survival are better if something like that.
Except in that Revolution show, you're screwed because you drive a Prius.
I guess so. But we, you know, we could always go to the farm I grew up on. And there's resources there that we could easily get by on if something happened where, like, the power grid went down for an extended period of time or things like that.
I believe it's properly said that the farm upon which you grew.
Okay. it would be difficult. I mean, it would be.
See, that's why I like my option.
There'd be a brief struggle before we die, and for you, it's just giving up.
That's the thing. Like, you're like, just get everything in the car. I'm just like, I'm already gone.
Not as prepared as my wife would like to be, though, let's put it that way.
There was a moment when I truly became aware of this.
Aware of how unprepared you are for a big disaster?
Yes. Hmm. Was when I went to see the movie Zombieland. Great movie, by the way. I highly recommend it. And it talks about his rules for dealing with the zombies. And rule number one is cardio. And he says, when the zombie outbreak started, the fat people went first. And I'm like, that is right. That is what would happen.
Sounds legit.
And I was like, and that is just the start of ways that I am not prepared for anything to go wrong.
So, yeah, well.
But I married her, so I feel like that ups my odds.
Yeah, probably.
She's
I'll kill a few for you.
She's got her shit together, especially in emergencies.
Well, that's the same with my wife. I mean, she's the one that's, if we're prepared, it's going to be because of stuff she did ahead of time, not me.
I still feel like I get more credit for unpreparedness than you, though.
Like, my level of preparedness is so low that your level of unpreparedness, like, surpasses
it? No. I'm saying, if whatever the bad thing is starts with both our wives dying, you're still lasting longer than me.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Rule number one. I mean, I'm not saying, I don't know how much cardio you do, but you're in better shape. You're going to outrun whatever it is. If nothing else, and I really think there's more to it. yeah. Oh, this one's weird.
Okay.
And anonymous. What indie, in case we're not familiar with that term, they say in parentheses here, non-big budget, not sure that's an accurate description of indie, but all right. Gaming titles are you looking forward to?
None, because I never hear of them.
That's like my exact answer.
Yeah.
Let's work backwards. What are some that you've really enjoyed?
Well, I don't know. I guess I again.
Adewale, what's your deal?
Well, that must be what she was complaining about before.
No, it's a lie. They say we forgot to feed him. Oh. She didn't. I saw her feed him.
I remember enjoying Ico. Was that? Is that an independent?
Ico. Is it? I feel like that's independent fair title at the time.
That's how it's pronounced?
Yes. It's okay. Japanese.
Well, all right.
Ico.
If that's an independent title, that's one we enjoyed. But I don't think we've even played very many independent titles because we never hear of them. We just hear of the big titles. I mean, we played Gone Home. I guess that was an independent
title. Gone Home definitely counts. Gone Home was amazing.
And it was good, I guess, yeah.
They put out another game, I think Transistor, that I have not played yet. I really should. I think I may even own it from a Humble Bundle. Yeah, I wish I played more indie games.
A lot of indie games aren't really the kind of, like, even if they weren't indie games, because of, like, they're platform games or side-scrollers or something, and we don't really get into that. So we would not, just, you know, we wouldn't enjoy them even though they're
quite cool. I mean, I guess I'm looking forward to, I think Papers, Please is an indie game. And I own it, and I'm looking forward to playing it. I've had it for years, and I haven't. And who knows when I will or if I will. But I think it's cool, and I think that'd be fun. The Guild of Dungeoneering feels pretty fucking indie. And I like it a lot.
Okay.
Cookie Cats, indie? I play a lot of Cookie Cats.
You know, so much game news I hear... Two is about like mobile app games and stuff, which we're never going to play. Yeah. So
my gaming news consists pretty much entirely of Ben, Dan, Stu, occasionally Trish. Like other people, friends of mine, saying, "Are you excited about such and such?" And I'm like, "I've never heard of that." So no. And Sean. Sorry, Sean.
Well, we're not big, like, side-scroller platform. I mean, there's certain types of games that we don't really get into playing, and a lot of indie games are those, so it's just not our thing. And we don't have a device for playing app-based games on either, so...
Did I ask how excited your wife is about Red Dead Redemption 2?
I didn't know there was going to be one.
Wow, you really are out of the loop.
See, I'm telling you.
Yes. They put out a teaser sort of implying it. They, like, changed their logo on Twitter or something. And people were theorizing, and then they've officially announced, yep, they're making Red Dead Redemption 2. Or, as somebody in the AV Club called it, Red Dead Revolver 3, : Red Dead Redemption 2, : Electric Boogaloo.
This makes me... reminds me, Dad, because I was going to ask you, and it's completely changing the subject, but how did you take the news that Vine is stopping?
First of all, only found out moments ago.
On the way here, I found out.
Yeah, this is the thing.
Basically.
Well, I'm still confused because it's going away, but they're leaving it up.
You're not going to be able to post new Vines.
I feel like I don't care, but there are specific reasons why I don't care. I should rephrase. There's one reason why I don't care, and there's one reason why I a little bit care.
When it first came about, you were a little excited about it.
I was fascinated, and specifically the site vpeaker.com that I still go to. I went there a few days ago. That just shows you the most recently uploaded one.
Yeah.
And it's still fascinating, and I'm going to be sad that will, I assume, go away. But I don't hang out there a lot or anything. It was an interesting artifact. But the main reason I don't care, well, okay, there's a lot of reasons why I don't care. But the important one here is technology exists that makes it almost as easy And at this point, it's a GIF generation thing, because people make GIFs that are longer than 6 seconds. So at this point, you know, film something just on your camera as a video, and then turn some of it into a GIF, and you've got a Vine, basically. I mean...
Right, but nobody's going to go to YouTube to watch 6 second videos, are they?
No, but nobody went to YouTube now to watch 6 second videos. You would post them to Twitter, and you can still post them
I see.
Or to Instagram, or to wherever.
I gotcha.
And people will probably do like they did do on YouTube, which is they would collect Vines, like a 20-minute thing of Vines that were all supposed to be particularly good. It was some bullshit clickbait stuff, but... Yeah, so I don't feel like it's going to be a big change, mostly.
Well, that's probably why they got rid of it, because they thought, you know, this isn't really a thing.
That's kind of what...
I mean, at first it was, but the shines off the penny, or however they say it. So
other people figured out how to make Kleenex. That must have been a blow. No pun intended. I apologize for that. I really didn't mean to do that. Were they the first people to... Well...
Facial tissue? Like, did Kleenex make the first facial tissues? I have no idea. I don't know if Band-Aid made the first adhesive...
really hard to get...
I don't know if Band-Aid made the first adhesive bandages.
My hunch, based on nothing...
Or if Pampers made the first disposable diapers.
But that I just don't think is true at all. No. But no, my hunch... Well, actually, that one's also based on nothing. Based on absolutely nothing, my hunch is Kleenex was the first, Band-Aid was not the first, Pampers was not the first.
Okay.
But I'm pulling it out of my ass. I did that. It's a feeling.
I don't know if... I mean, is that really... When I was growing up, you called facial tissues Kleenex, you called adhesive bandages Band-Aids, and you called disposable diapers Pampers. But is that even true anymore? Are people even do that now?
We wouldn't always call disposable diapers Pampers. We'd call them diapers a lot.
Okay.
Nowadays, I feel like it is... It's become vernacular that works, but the same with the Huggies.
Yeah, yeah.
People would say that also, and so I feel like it's not... Got the same thing. Jell-O is a big one.
Yeah, that's true. And Coke in some places.
Yes, I've never been in those places because I don't know what's wrong with those people. But, did you know Hydrox was the original?
No.
Yes, Hydrox was the original. Oreo copied them, but Oreo's recipe was better. And they blew Hydrox out of the water.
Didn't know that. Should we draw another one? Do we have time for one more?
This will probably be one on war and peace and
some really involved one.
Mm-hmm.
Not we don't have that much very time, straightforward so. Ones like these.
Mm-hmm. What is four?
We have gotten this before, and the card is like saying, I don't know if I've done this before, but whoever it is must have, because
all it says, right.
And I read it too. I can't remember if I've sent this in already. If not, here's a short story about surprises. Once upon a time, boo! Were you surprised?
No, because we had this before. In fact, I believe I had you tell that story.
Oh, we tried it again because I messed it up.
Yeah. And the second time I was scared, but the third time, no. So keep writing that one in and we'll watch the, you know, because after the fourth time, it stops being funny. But after the ninth time, it starts being funny
again.
What? I was just thinking of that. When we went to Oregon, for some reason, I think because I decided it's my favorite comedy bit ever, but I played for my niece and then later played for my brother and sister, or my sister and brother-in-law. My favorite comedy bit ever, the John Mulaney one about going to the Salt and Pepper Diner in Chicago and playing What's New Pussycat 21 times in a row on the jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
Have I made you listen to that before?
That sounds really familiar.
Yeah. If you haven't, it's awesome. But it's that same sort of thing. But that's a real comedic thing. I think I talked about this before. Barry Levinson and the guy who was Coach on the show Coach. He was also in Poltergeist. How did I lose his name? Anyway, that guy. Those two guys were in a comedic duo that used to play in coffee houses in the 60s. And their whole shtick was that they were folk singers, but not really. And, like, one of their bits was that they'd say, okay, this is a song we wrote called, and it'd be something mundane, so, like, this was called Table. And then they'd start tuning up. Ding, 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 ding. And they'd keep tuning up. And they'd keep ding, 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 tuning up for, like, 12 minutes.
12 minutes.
If they could last. Because the problem is, at first everybody thinks it's funny for about 2 minutes. And then, minutes 3 through 6, nobody thinks it's funny. But then minutes 7 through 12, they think it's really funny. Maybe it was only 9 minutes. But and it apparently was a thing, and they used to look at each other, and they were like having the mental, kind of, let's get out now. No, we gotta push it through. It's gonna be funny again. Come on.
Also, Tig in the stool.
Also, Tig Notaro when she pushes the stool around the stage.
Did you know all of the exterior establishing shots in Coach were filmed here at the University of Iowa?
No.
Yeah. In fact, they were doing it one time.
I feel like I should be able to place it then, and I haven't.
Courier Hall was a big one. I was just getting off work one time while they were filming, and if I'd been smart, I could have got. They had these jackets you could wear for the fictional university that he worked at, and then you could walk around and you would be in the establishing shot for the show. But I didn't do it.
Now that I think about it, it does explain why he lived at John's Grocery.
Well,
I was always confused
by
that.
The thing is, too, that one of the people who created and wrote for the show went here and was in the writer's workshop maybe or something. I don't know. No, he was just, I don't know, he just went here and learned to write screenplays.
So does that
here.
Mean the exterior for his cabin was also somewhere around here?
No, I don't think so. But, like, anything that was an exterior in the university that he worked at was... You know, like if they show the exterior of a dorm, it was a University of Iowa dorm. Or
there were
athletic.
Particular shots that were always,
they were all in the University of Iowa.
Wow, this is going to bug me with his name. As soon as it pops, it's there, thank you. Craig
T. Nelson.
Nelson.
Yeah, that's right.
I was going around Roy and Clark for some reason. Clark, I get Craig, you know, but I don't know what Roy was about. If you'd like to tell us about your memories of Coach, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Go there and talk with Jazz. Jazz, I owe you an apology. My email, once again, started deciding that its notifications about people sending comments to the blog was spam for, like, several episodes. So today, I read... like the last 3 episodes were the comments that I had never read before, most of which were Jazz. That's why I owe Jazz and Paul. And most of which pertained directly to me, so I should have. Yes, we see you shaking your butt, including William. That's all right. Is this something you're propositioning before he leaves, or I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm into it. I don't.
I'm just gonna do it for 12 minutes.
Nice! Nice! That's right, because right now it's funny. Soon it's not going to be funny. Then it's going to get real funny again.
Is that really how it works? Because if it's funny, then awkward, does it still get funny?
Yeah, it does. It does.
And then also tomorrow...
Because if you hold awkwardness long enough and everybody knows it's awkward, it becomes funny.
My thighs muscles will hurt, and then it won't be funny.
Mm-hmm. Or at minute 10, it's going to fall off. Golden skirts re-enabled. Don't you know that story? Don't you know that? Haven't I told that story before?
And then we'll have to send you to LMAO Clinic.
no, this is a classic story in my family. Haven't I told about the man with the golden screw?
And that sounds familiar to you.
Yeah, he has a golden screw where in his navel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those stories that's funny because you drag it out. Mm-hmm. And so all the places he goes to deal with it. And he eventually finds a vaguely supernatural way to deal with it where he's up on a hill at night with his belly exposed to the moonlight. And a big long thing. And then it is gone. And in the morning he's so happy. And he gets up and his butt fell off. That's the joke. And if you tell it at just the right pacing, it's really good timing because it's the triumphant end of the story, and his butt fell off. And you stop right there, always. Anyway, yeah, so I was apologizing to Jazz, but I think I finished that.
Yeah.
And then Trish was wiggling her butt at us, so all right. On that note, people, also write in themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, because at this point I'm not convinced anybody's listening other than Jazz. Because I think both NeuroDuck and Coffee, I think, are behind. I might be wrong. And I think my boss is behind. And those were the only people. And I know Stu's behind.
And Mark's behind
still. Also make a commemorative
Mark's always
vine
behind.
Honoring.
Yes, also make a commemorative vine honoring the hat. And
because it's can still do that for about a week.
Exactly. And we'll post it. Love you guys. Talk to you guys in a week.
Happy Halloween.
His butt fell off.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.